This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Spine Fat Chicks.
And this week's episode is going to be about a trip we took a couple weeks back to Peterborough, Ontario. We decided to go up there for the afternoon and check out the Canoe Museum and some of the places to eat around there.
The Canoe Museum. Oh my god. The Canadian Canoe Museum. I was so excited. I was actually had bought a kayak magazine. I was flipping through looking at the ads, and there was an ad about some kind of a paddling movie. And I thought, oh, I wonder where they're showing this at different places around the two countries. And it had the Canadian Canoe Museum in Peterborough.
I think the exact thing was, honey, did you know that we have a canoe museum? And it's in Peterborough? And they have kayaks? Can we go?
Tomorrow? But it wasn't nearly that nice. It was more along the lines of, honey, did you know there's a Canadian Canoe Museum in Peterborough? Why wasn't I told of this? Because obviously they should have informed me upon immigration to the country. We have this wonderful museum full of these little boats that you like to paddle around, Tracy. You should check it out.
So what is it about kayaks that you love so much?
They're self-contained. It's all you, which sounds selfish. And I'm not a selfish person.
But
I love sharing.
You only have to rely on yourself.
You only have to rely on yourself. You move at your own speed. And you can get up so close to things that otherwise you won't be able to see. Because you can't tromp through the woods to look at it. So you can get up to some really neat-looking wetlands and some deadfall. And it's so peaceful. And I don't do the whitewater thing, at least not yet in this point in my life. I do the flat water, paddle around, and have a good time. And it tickles me as a mode of transportation. I would really love nothing more than to do, from Orillia down to Barrie, the kayak trip along Lake Simcoe, along the shore. I know it would only take a couple hours, but I just think that would be so cool to be like, yeah, you know, normally we would drive, but I paddled it for a change. It's just so neat.
I think it's really relaxing, and it's really quiet, and you do get a chance to see some things in nature because you're not scaring them off with motorboats.
Yes.
And also, too, because there's so many petroglyphs and different Native American and Aboriginal sites, you can go get up close and check that out.
So it's such a neat little thing, and you could take a kayak almost anywhere. You can kayak in 2 feet of water, if not less. While we were in Orillia, and we were going to the tiny little public beach right next to the giant provincial beach, and I'd throw the kayak in the water there and go around the horn to the other side where all the houses were, I would go to cross into that little bay where they had breakers, and I would literally be going over water, over rocks, and I think I maybe had 6 inches, and I had to be careful because every once in a while I could feel my butt scraping. And we have inflatable kayaks, and they're very tough, they're very durable. When I say inflatable, everybody thinks a pool toy, but there are these
actually made to do level 3 rapids.
Yes.
Which we would never do, but that just shows you how resilient they are.
Exactly. They can take a lot of punishment. But
even more
then,
Zodiac than pool toy.
But even then, I was amazed at how little water I needed to get around. So that's something else that always just kind of tickles me too. Mm-hmm. And it's something you do in your own time, on your own terms. You don't have to wait for a set day to go do it with people or a set time. If you work in the afternoon, you can go in the evening. If you work at night, you can go in the morning. Yeah. And that's something with a lot of our hobbies we've run into. We don't have traditional schedules. And it really locks us out of doing a lot of things we want to do. So that's why
anybody has any traditional schedules anymore, to be honest.
Well, some people do. It's just nobody we know. We're those kind of people. So.
One last thing about kayaks before we move on. I always picture myself as being some sort of adventurer going on the Amazon, because you always see the indigenous peoples there with these crazy little sit-on-top kayaks that they're usually standing and paddling through piranha-filled water.
And also, because I can talk about this forever, but I'll only take another minute or two. Every time we watch a travel show, if there's a body of water, I look at it and say, I would totally kayak on that. We talk about going to England someday. I'm like, oh, I want to go on a kayak trip down the Thames. Or we watched Thumbs Up, the travel show on Netflix, and the two guys took a pool toy pretty much down the Mississippi for part of it. And I'm like, oh, I would totally do a kayak trip down the Mississippi, which you can and people have done.
Yes.
Which would be totally awesome. So that's my big dream. If I were to hit the lottery, we would do the podcast all the time and just kayak everywhere.
True that.
And I'd love some good karma from everybody who hears this. You want to send me some good vibes around July-ish or so, June-ish? They're doing a draw for a raffle at the Canadian Canoe Museum that I entered for a really shiny, nice new kayak. So just saying, if you want to send some good thoughts my way, I would love a nice, shiny new kayak. Because we have a nice, shiny new car that will soon have a nice, shiny new roof rack on it that is screaming for some shiny new hard shell kayaks. All right. So we went up to Peterborough because I am insane, and there was no putting me off since I discovered this on a Saturday for us, and we had that next day as a Sunday together to go do something. You take 401 up to Highway
11,
and it pops you out when you get to Peterborough right by their visitor center.
Yeah. And the visitor center was pretty cool. It's a very nice building, and the staff are extremely eager, and they love Peterborough, which are the two things that you want in a visitor center staff. So Barbara from Peterborough launched herself at us, as opposed to Barbara from Ukraine.
Who can outdrink a garrison of Roman soldiers. Anyway, go ahead.
I think she can outsell Peterborough.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And she's very knowledgeable, too.
Yeah, there were so many things to do. Like, I realized it was a historic town. I realized that there was a lot of things up there when you get Trent University, plus all the indigenous stuff around there, plus all
the
pioneering stuff, like colonialist stuff.
Oh, and the winery, too. There's the Kawartha Country Wines just north of Peterborough.
Yeah.
There's just tons of stuff. The lock cruises.
Yeah, because there's the Trent River, which has a lock system to join it to the Kawarthas, which is a chain of lakes. There are a bunch of little tiny lakes that are all connected up in that area, and they're very popular for fishing, boating, all that stuff. All these are actually connected, and you can actually go through the entire system.
And if you go check out the visitor center, one of the maps they can give you is a map of kind of common paddling trails.
Mm.
Trails, I put that in air quotes, that
aqua
you can
trails.
Take. And you can they tell you where you have to portage. And where you, how far it'll be and all this other stuff. But that's kind of neat, too, because you can go from lake to lake to lake very easily in that area. So that's something else if you like to camp. Definitely check that out. We both really recommend checking out the visitor center, not just because Barbara was awesome and really friendly and really nice and gave us all kinds of awesome information, but because they have awesome pamphlets and a visitor's guidebook that gives you really good coupons.
Yeah, the coupons are pretty awesome because we actually got some for the Canoe Museum admission. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's actually coupons, I think, for local businesses.
Tons of coupons for local businesses, a little bit of money off at hotels, a couple dollars off on different museums if you go to them. It's really just, if you're going to be doing a few things within the town, it's probably worth going just to save you a couple dollars. If nothing else, it's a place to stop at a Tim Hortons, which is across from the visitor center, go get a coffee, use the restroom, stop in, get the guides. The ladies there may be able to turn you on to something you didn't know was in town as well. So
yeah, like we got a whole stack of stuff to check out and try.
And we weren't like the little kids at the ROM museum. We were totally getting it because we wanted to, not just because we felt like being locusts that day.
Exactly.
And one of the things I know we're both really excited about is they do these neat little tours, ghost tours. And one of them is a pub tour. It's Scandals and Scoundrels Pub Crawl. It just sounds neat. So
and they take you to four different historic pubs. And they tell you different ghost stories, which is pretty awesome. And you get to stop at each pub long enough to have a drink.
Yes.
So it's not recommended for children, though, but there are plenty of other things for kids to do.
And the beverages aren't included in the price of the tickets, but nonetheless, it's kind of a neat way to do a pub crawl and not feel like you're an alcoholic, but feel more like you're, you know, into history.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes you feel better. And there's a couple ghost walks and a haunted horse and carriage tour. These are things we would have no idea existed had we not swung by and talked to Barbara for a good 15 minutes or so.
Okay, so let's talk about the Canoe Museum.
I'm sitting here holding the pamphlet and just grinning like an idiot, making it dance.
Three floors, chronological order of everything from the Stone Age to modern canoes and kayaks.
Yes.
And quite a bit of stuff about the Hudson's Bay Company.
Tons. But they had dugouts, they had some old birch bark, tons of old birch bark canoes, old kayaks. I never seen so many kayaks, period, in one building. Let alone historic ones. A lot of old
some of them are
hunting
recreations.
Mm-hmm.
That is, especially when you get to the ones that are like, this is an example of what people would be using 3,000 years ago.
Yes.
They don't necessarily have that, but they do have a lot of stuff that is well over 200 years old.
Yes. And all the way up to modern, where they had one of the fellows who won a silver medal in, I think it was the Beijing Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
One of his kayaks, which is built for speed. It's the cockpit's like the size of my thigh. It's so small. He's a little guy.
Right.
Where you don't really sit far in it either. You're kind of almost...
You're
it's almost
perched.
A sit on top that looks like a sit inside.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. And they had one of his actually each. Or two total that belonged to him that he's used in different races. And they had a lot of footage looped playing. And that was really neat to see. They have a workshop where they do... They'll do demonstrations. They also have another workshop where they do workshops to teach you things.
Yeah, if you want to learn something about making traditional style canoes, wooden
paddles.
Paddles, yeah.
They do a paddle workshop.
All kinds of stuff.
That's supposed to be a fairly short one, that if I ever had, you know, extended weekend and we were in town there, I would definitely check it out. And then they had all the Hudson's Bay trading stuff, which was so cool. They had this giant canoe.
It was a freighter canoe. It was like the Mack truck of its time.
Huge.
And it's so big. I'm going to put up a picture, aside from the food, of me standing next to this thing. And I look like a hobbit. It's not a forced perspective thing. It's so deep, it pretty much comes up to my waist.
A little further than that, almost.
Yeah.
Almost your
armpits. I look like a child standing next to it.
She really looked like she was getting ready to hop in the boat with Frodo and just go rowing towards Mordor. It was awesome. It's
too cool
for words.
Thanks for the stuff.
Yeah, it was too cool for words. And it just, you look at it and you almost think, man, this thing just needs a mast with like a Viking sail and some people with oars chained in there.
Yeah, this is huge. And the amount of stuff that they could carry was incredible because they had all these great displays of it.
Let's put it this way. They measured it in tons, I believe.
Yeah.
Not pounds, tons. That's how much they could pack in these. And these guys, they lived off of pretty much pemmican. And they gave a great breakdown. We should put this picture up, too, of the equivalent of what they ate in a day of pemmican and what it would be in Big Macs and macaroni and cheese and everything.
Yeah. It was a lot. But they were burning so many calories because they were doing how many strokes a minute?
50 strokes a minute.
Wow.
Not quite one a second. Which I am humbled by. I have a broke down old rowing machine at home, and I tried to see how many I could do after we got back, and really pushed, and I could barely break 30. After about a month, I'm able to get up to about 36 to 38.
Right. Of course, that is a different stroke.
Yeah.
It's more of a rowboat stroke, whereas these guys are basically jabbing the water with a J stroke.
Yes. But I'm humbled by it. I mean, that's just
it's incredible.
It is. Talk about being a cog in a machine, but man,
right.
So cool. And one of the other kayaks we saw that Sheila and I were both absolutely tickled by. So they went through the later display of 20th century kayaks when things in Canadian culture, like going away to camp became a big thing and going out into a boat.
Yeah, we're talking like 1920s where, you're right, the camping thing became a big deal.
And the going out in a canoe club was a big deal, and all these little towns along the lakes had canoe clubs to join. And they had a canoe with a phonograph in it.
Yes. That's like, take that 8-track, ha-ha.
There's nothing cooler. Gorgeous canoe, but nothing cooler than that. Ha-ha, my canoe has a phonograph in it.
That's
like,
not,
mounted into
that's
it.
That's not big pimpin'. That's giant pimpin'.
That is giant pimpin'. That is huge. That is the bee's knees.
Yes.
The only way to describe something like that. So, gorgeous, gorgeous museum. Well laid out. We took maybe 2 hours to do the whole thing, and we didn't run through it. If you have kids, it probably will be a little bit shorter. Because they won't quite have the attention span to gaze lovingly at the kayaks like I will. But they do have a couple kids' areas to do things. They do have some hands-on activities, some displays that you can touch.
They have a teepee that you can go into.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
And they mark the displays where you're allowed to touch with, I think, a hand or something. So you know you're allowed to touch display and go ahead and grope it. They have a nice gift shop, which you don't have to pay to get into the gift shop either. You can just go in and check it out. And they, did I talk about the raffle? Yes, I did.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Let's say yes, they're doing a raffle that I bought a ticket for a giant canoe, or a kayak. So send me good vibes so we can win it. Because I really want it.
Anyway.
No, totally worth it. It was about $10, I think, with tax to do the museum. But the museum is completely self-supporting. That's how they keep it open. Totally worth it. If you're into any kind of water stuff, historic stuff, it's definitely worth checking out.
So now, let's talk about the food.
Oh, the choices were enormous, because Barbara was so helpful as to highlight a couple of restaurants in the guidebook for us to check out. And we told her, you know, we're looking for a place for lunch, kind of not too expensive, but it doesn't have to be fast food style either, something in the middle of the road, you know, something that serves beer.
Right.
And she had a whole bunch of choices highlighted, and then when we were flipping through the book, we found a brew pub, which is our kryptonite.
Exactly. And the funny thing about this particular brew pub is I thought it was a different brew pub that I'd been to before, about 15 years ago, when I was going up to Peterborough pretty regularly for a role-playing group that I was involved in. And that was actually the Peterborough Arms, which is no longer there. But this one is still pretty historic because it's an older building. It looks like it's probably from the 1800s.
It's part of that downtown kind of build, where you had all the storefronts in a row conjoined together. And it's probably been a million different shops before it became that.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Probably a dressmaker's
or
and a dry goods store or something. Yes. definitely has that old school storefront feel to it. There's some of the buildings that are really ahead.
Yeah.
Same
and
deal.
A lot of the buildings, or a lot of the downtowns in Ontario have that feel. Because mm-hmm. that's really when we started to spring up and spread out as far as population went.
And Peterborough has a really nice selection of places to eat to begin with, period. Mostly because of the college nearby, the university, Trent University.
It's like the amount of diversity in Morgantown, exponential.
Yes. A gorgeous downtown area, too.
So. I guess we have to back it up just a bit.
Yes.
So when we walked up the Old Stone Brewing Company, which is where we went.
Let me move this closer so you can see it.
Yeah, the Old Stone Brewing Company shares an alcove entryway with Hot Belly Mamas. And we were torn. Because if you go to the right, you go to Hot Belly Mamas. If you go to the left, you go to Old Stone Brewing Company.
And Hot Belly Mamas has...
And we love Cajun food.
Cajun food.
Southern soul food.
Yes, in a French Quarter atmosphere. That was a hard choice for us. But we had just been to Big Daddy's not recently, and we can't resist a brew pub because we really love good, well-made craft beer.
Exactly.
So we made our choice, we committed ourselves, and we went left.
So we rolled in, and the reason why I was talking about the architecture of the place is because, of course, the place that I had to pick for us to sit was up a six-stair...
Two or three.
Stairway?
Yeah, just a couple.
Oh, okay. So, a 2-to-3-stair stairway, and there was a landing that had been made into a booth.
And then the whole little landing area was just, like, enclosed booth with, like, glass around the front, on the back and side.
So you could spy over the bar and, like, have a bird's eye view of what was going on.
Yes. It was the only seat like that in the place. I think there might have been one behind us if you went around the corner that was a little more secluded, too. We took the bird's eye view because Sheila couldn't resist something that could potentially cause one of us to trip.
Exactly.
You know, it's like the drunk test. I'm sorry, you're too drunk to get back to your seat. You need to leave now.
But the Old Stone Brewing Company is at 380 George Street North.
Downtown Peterborough.
On the main drag.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Oh, parking situation. It is on-street parking, and it's pay parking. They have meters. They don't have the cool little machines like we have in Oshawa where you can stick a card in and get a little ticket to put on your windshield or in your car. I'm becoming a big fan of those because you don't have to have change on you if you have a credit card.
Right.
And it's not a big deal to put a dollar on your credit card for parking.
Well, and if you have extra time on it and you wanted to go further down the street, you could just move your car and then the ticket's still good for any of the spaces.
Correct. So that's kind of nice. So do we want to talk about the food or the dessert?
Well, let's talk about the beer first.
Which was the dessert?
They have 4 different kinds, and then they also have a rotating seasonal that goes once every couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty fast rotation. You had the seasonal, which was the spring thaw spiced ale.
Yes, and yeah. All I really heard her say was blah, 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 spiced ale, and I said, yes, that. So.
And you said it was like the light version of Old Fezziwigs?
It was absolutely a less bitter, lighter version of Old Fezziwigs. It was almost nice. Like Fundle Blonde and Old Fezziwigs had an illicit getaway weekend, and this was the offspring. It was really, really good.
And I had the Ordu Stout, and it was delicious. It was really, really good. It reminded me a lot of Blackwater Stout, where it was a stout, but it wasn't super heavy, but it was still velvety.
It was the kind of stout you could drink all night and not feel bloated, which is what most good stouts are. Mm-hmm. When you run into one that makes you feel bloated, it's just, there's a lot of other stuff in it. So.
Yeah. And then there was also, because they had like the literary theme going, they had the Pickwick's Best Bitter, and that was pretty good, because we, for dessert, got the sampler.
Yes. Which was
we're going to talk about dessert first, I guess.
Yeah. It comes out on this cute little tray. It has 5 glasses. What were they, 4-ounce glasses?
Yeah.
5 4-ounce glasses that are arranged, one on each corner of the round tray, and one in the middle. And they tell you which one's which, so you know, and they put the seasonal in the middle. So, since I had the seasonal with my meal, Sheila grabbed the seasonal off the thing, and I grabbed the stout, since that's what she had with her meal. And we shared the other ones to try them.
And it's the same price as getting one pint, so really, it's a pretty good deal.
It is.
If you want to try everything. So the Pickwick's Best Bitter, that was really good. It reminded me a lot of,
Optical illusion, almost.
Kind of, yeah.
Because it wasn't really bitter.
It wasn't super, super crazy like IPA puckering, but it had a little bit of bitter to make it refreshing.
On a hot summer day, I would destroy a few pints of that.
Yeah.
And I don't like bitters very much. I mean, I'm really picky about them, so that was really good.
But if you like the old English bitters, you'd probably love it.
Definitely.
The Wild Old Ale, named after Oscar Wilde.
It's spelled Wilde.
Tasted a lot like a Newcastle. It was like a brown ale, kind of.
And it was also delicious.
Yeah. And the last one would be the Red Fife Wheat Ale, which is super refreshing, totally drinkable. I could destroy gallons and gallons of that in the summertime.
Exactly. And this
not
is
a bad one in the bunch.
No, which is rare for us. Usually we go to a brew pub and we try all of their beers, or as many as we can. And we do try hard to try all of them.
Well, within legal limits, though.
Yes. But whenever we try all of them, we always have one that's the red-headed stepchild of the batch. There's always
like,
one
it's
that...
it's okay, or...
I'll drink it because it's on the sampler platter, but by God, I would never order that again.
Right.
And here, there was one beer that we wouldn't order again. It would be a hard choice, and we're definitely going
to
go back.
Yeah.
And it's
like,
going
to be
a hard choice.
I'm not sure which one to choose, because they're all great.
I might just go down the list.
Yeah.
I mean, really... So, if you're into craft brew in any way, shape, or form, and you're in the Peterborough area, either passing through, on business, on vacation, definitely worth stopping to check out just for the beer. Now, the food.
Food is amazing.
Let's talk about the good and then lead up into the oh my god, WTF BBQ.
Right. So, the food itself was gastropub without the...
pretension.
Yeah, exactly.
With a dash of dirty hippie fun.
Without the highfalutin prices either.
Yeah.
Because it was very affordable.
Yeah.
You could tell this was like a college student bar.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, everything
in
on
a good way.
Everything on the menu was between, what, $8 and probably $12. Mm-hmm. And they might have had, if I recall correctly, one or two things that were a little more expensive, but really you could go there and eat and not break the budget unless you went crazy with the beer. Mm-hmm. Which is going to be hard not to do because it's so good and so smooth.
Right.
So I decided to go a little bit dirty hippie, and I had one of the, it was a chicken wrap where they have their own chicken marinated and had sprouts in it and everything and vegetables and sauteed onions and peppers in it. And I didn't realize it was a cold wrap. It was a good wrap. Mm-hmm. It was a little cold out that day though, and I probably would have preferred something a little heartier, but that is the equivalent of the Hagen's cold platter.
Right.
For like a hot summer day when you want something
refreshing.
Yeah. Totally go with that. If we're going to be there in the summer, I'd probably get that again just to cool off. We've been out kayaking or hiking or doing whatever.
Exactly.
Definitely delicious. Their chicken was amazing. Tender, soft, juicy, not salty. They didn't go crazy with whatever salt stuff they put in the marinade.
Right.
100% worth it. Mine also came with their homemade fries, their homemade chips.
They're basically like chip truck fries because they're hand cut.
But
and
better.
Fried in something, which we think is peanut oil, because it's got a nice texture.
That look and texture and
yeah.
taste to it. But I don't hold me to it. It could be another mix of oils. But it tastes to me like peanut oil fries, like I used to get at Mims and Ambridge when I was a kid.
Right.
So, now Sheila's was the reason to go back and what you want to get all the time.
Right. This is, I think, the dish.
The dish.
If there's a specialty, this is probably it.
And don't think mine wasn't good. Mine was good. Hers was epic.
Right. I got the Bangers... beans and chips. The bangers were from a local butcher just right downtown.
Yes.
Great, great sausages. They were about the size of a bratwurst, and there was two of them.
Huge sausages.
Yeah. Amazing. Nice and like crispy on the outside. Nice smoky flavor.
Perfect texture, great, too.
Yeah. There was not a bit of gristle in it. Mm-hmm. Then the beans. You could tell those things had cooked for a long time, low and slow. They were like classic Boston baked beans. You know, the kind that's your grandmother probably made. It's like bacony, a little bit of brown sugar, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Delicious beans.
And then a hearty serving of the chips. Whoa.
Yes.
Just awesome.
And hers was, I think, right around $10, too. So, like I said, mine was good. Hers was epic. I eyeballed hers the entire time. And I'd say on the serving size portion scale, mine was around a 3. Maybe a 2 3/4 on the Aaron and Patrick scale. I was full, but I also had a lot of beer with it.
Yeah.
Not like a lot of beer, like I was drunk, but you know, I had beer with it, and that does fill you up a little bit. Had I been out running around all day crazy, I probably would have wanted something else with it.
Right.
Yours was probably closer to a 4 because those sausages were big.
I shared them with Tracy, actually.
She did. I ate like a third of one of her sausages, so... definitely worth it for the food and the beer. We didn't try any of the traditional dessert because we had the beer for dessert.
Right.
We
did
want to
have
go
a couple
back.
Different kinds.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember their dessert menu, though, but it did look good. Mm. The staff was really nice. The lady that was working there was very friendly, willing to chat with us a little bit. It's a cute little pub.
Mm.
We did try to take a couple pictures inside. I don't know how well they turned out, but we'll put
some
them
on. Some of them turned out, yeah.
Yes. So definitely check it out. There was something else I wanted to add, too, about Peterborough in general. Oh, we went to a coffee house, too, a little bit later.
Right.
Do you remember the name of it?
No.
It was down two streets and to the right from the Old Stone.
It had fair trade organic coffee.
It did. It was something bean. Because we decided, you know, we didn't bring the recorder to record, but we did want to go get a coffee after that epic meal. And we weren't going to hop right in the car and drive after I'd had the equivalent of 2 pints. I was going to go chill
out a little bit.
Exactly. And I don't remember, but it really good beer. I mean,
let me check really quick.
It had really good coffee. I bet we can look it up online if I do a map search at home, and we could post the link to it.
But you're right, I thought it was like something bean. And I almost want to say Killer Bean, but I don't think that was
it wasn't. That's the place online that you can order from that has awesome coffee. It wasn't the one that's highlighted in there either on the first page. We'll look it up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident we can find it. It looked like your typical college coffee house.
Yeah.
Reminded me a lot of Blue Moose in Morgantown.
Mm-hmm.
Really good coffee. You had a good Americano. I had one of their their house blends that they have. It was delicious. Did we have dessert, too?
I think we ate something for dessert.
We split something cheesecakey, too, which it's a nice little coffee house in a town that I think had 3 or 4 that we walked by to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, Peterborough really, I do envy them a little bit compared to what's in Oshawa for coffee houses. They only have, like, maybe 2 right now.
We don't really have any independent ones except for
Beans,
and which is under new management now.
Yes, it is, actually. I don't remember her name, though. Do you know it?
I just know her as that lovely chick that works at the Waltzing Weasel.
And knows Rosie and Bronwyn.
Yeah.
So, but she's really cool, and Beans is the same coffee they had before. Everything's delicious, same atmosphere. I don't think the hours of operation have changed yet. But once we find out, we'll let you know. But she did say they are going to be doing, sometime after Easter weekend, they're going to pull, like, she put it in McDonald's.
Mm.
And do a free coffee weekend. So if this goes up before Easter, or free coffee day, you might want to keep your eyes peeled if you're in the Oshawa area to go try out some of their awesome, amazing coffee.
Exactly.
Yes. So what else do you want to add besides Wheel of Peterborough? And we're going to spend a lot of time up there, I think, over the next couple of years checking it out.
I can't think of anything else. Go out there and explore. Check it
out. Definitely. So this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed the Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.